God bless you, choir. God bless you. This has been a spirit-filled service.
Yes.
The Lord is in the house today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He's delivered us from sickness.
Yes.
He's delivered us from hard times.
Yes.
He's delivered us. And it's time to rejoice. It's time to celebrate the Lord today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
To celebrate.
Yes.
But you know what? Whenever there's some celebration going on, there's always somebody who's not happy. Amen? There's always somebody who's not pleased with the celebration. There's always someone who does not appreciate your story and what you've been through and the reason why tears stream down your face. They don't understand the night staying awake with pain racking the body. They don't understand the stress that comes into relationships. They don't understand your story. So therefore, when we stand up and we wave our hands and when we shout hallelujah, we're not doing it just for show. We're doing it because the Lord has done something in our lives. So if someone is offended by that, well, excuse me, keep on being offended, but you're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop us. You're not going to stop us from celebrating. You're not going to stop us from shouting. You're not going to stop us from singing. You're not going to stop us from praising the Lord. That's not how my story ends. That's love, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's not how it is. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for yesterday. We thank you if it be your will for tomorrow. But let us focus right now on today, on ourselves. Let us focus on you and your word. Father, thank you for preparing me for the word for today. Thank you for allowing the Spirit to come in and have it its own way. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. 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 Many of us know the parable of the prodigal son. The son in Luke chapter 15. Jesus shared a parable when he saw what was going on around him.
Uh-huh.
And what he saw is explained in the first few verses of chapter 15 of Luke. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus was doing his job. He was reaching out to those whose others thought was unreachable. He was reaching out to those who needed salvation. He reached out to the tax collectors, those who were hated because they often cheated people. He reached out to sinners, and they came to hear the message of Jesus Christ. But just like any celebration, as I said earlier, not everybody's going to be happy with it. Then the Pharisees and scribes, either the religious people, these are the saints of God. These are God's people. They are educated in the word. We know the word. They were not happy. They complained and said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. How dare he reach out to somebody in need? How dare he have the audacity to entertain sinners? Doesn't he know that that's going to rub off on him and his reputation? They were upset. So he shared three parables with them in this chapter. He talked about the man with 100 sheep who lost one and sought out that one. He talked about the woman with 10 silver coins, and she lost one coin and she turned the house upside down to find it, and she rejoiced once she found it. And then the third one is the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son. And it starts out in verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods, portion of goods that fall to me. In other words, I want my inheritance now. I know you've saved something up for both of us, and I know that when you die that we will get some of your stuff. We will get what you have. It is in the will. But I want to have it now. So he divided to them his livelihood. He divided to both of them his goods at that point. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions on prodigal living or sinful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Here's a young man who demanded his inheritance. He went out and had a good time. He lived a sinful lifestyle, but he spent it all. He fell on hard times, and when he fell on hard times, he had to hire himself out to work in somebody else's fields, and his job was to feed the pigs. And he even ate from the slop bucket of the pigs. I know somebody here remembers what a slop bucket is. Amen. In verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattest calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. That's a great parable of lost being found. That's a great parable that Jesus was trying to illustrate, that I'm here to reach out to those who are lost. And there's nobody who has done too bad to come back to me. But as the song that was just sung, that's not how the story ends. If you've only heard that, you have not heard the whole story. Paul Harvey, the commentator, used to say, and now on to page two. There's another page that we have to look at. You remember there were two sons, and the father divided the inheritance unto them. What happened to the other brother? The prodigal son had a brother. Well, we're about to find out if you don't know. And that's the topic for today. The prodigal son's brother. Or the other brother. Or another alternative title is a lesson in forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 25, it says, now his older brother was in the field. His older brother was working. His older brother was still taking care of business. The older brother was in the field. And he came and drew near the house. And he heard music and dancing. Have you ever been in your neighborhood and growing up and you hear music coming from somebody's house? And there's a house party going on. Yeah, yeah. But somehow you never received your invitation. How does that feel knowing that somebody else is having a good time? And you're busy taking care of the family business. That's how this young man was. He was in the field. And as he got near, he heard music in his ears. He said, something going on in the house. And I'm not there. It sounds like a party in the house. He heard music and dancing. Now, I don't know how you hear dancing, but there must have been a storm of dust being raised up from the house. And there was dancing and singing and moving to the groove. And the older brother got there. He got there. Somebody caught that. He got there. He said, I hear something in the air. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. There's a party going on in my house, and I'm out here sweating in the fields. Tell me, what are we celebrating? I look at the calendar. It's not a special day. It's not something that was advertised. What is going on? And in verse 27, the servant said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father have killed the fatted calf. The servant said, I'm going to tell you the reason we're celebrating. You might be hearing a tune familiar to you, a tune like, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, I worship you. There's celebration going on in the house because your brother has come home. And your father is so happy. He didn't take any calf. He took the best. You ever been to one of those fancy restaurants where you get to choose your own meat? You get to go up and look and decide what you want them to cook for you. You get a choice, and with those choices come a price. Amen. The better the quality, the higher the price. So here was the father taking the prime rib. Here's the father taking that A1 grade stuff. Here's the father taking the best of the best. And having it slaughtered and served for a party for a brother who had come home. But look at verse 28. But he was angry. He was angry and would not go in. The brother was angry and would not go in. I got several attributes I want to share with you about the other brother. Okay. Number one, he was angry.
He was angry at his brother for coming home, at his father for accepting his brother back and forgiving him. There are other times in the Bible where we see people act out of anger, and usually it doesn't end up well. Amen? We remember Esau was angry at Jacob for stealing his blessing and his birthright, had to leave home, separated for many years out of a course of anger. We remember Moses got angry with God's own people in Exodus chapter 20. He hit the rock to provide water for the people when God said, all you got to do is speak to the rock. Moses acted out of the will of God and was punished for it. Nebuchadnezzar, now we know this man wasn't a saint. We know he was not a saint, but he had some Hebrew boys working for him who were saints. He wanted them to bow down before him and worship him and bow down before his idol. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. He got angry at them. Angry at them enough to try to kill them in a fiery furnace. Jonah grew angry at God one time. What did Jonah grow angry at God for? Because God wanted him to be a messenger for a wayward people. But Jonah said, I don't want to do that. That's not my job. Lord, they deserve to die. They have brought it on themselves for what they're happening. Lord, I'm not going to go there. So Jonah went in the opposite direction. Instead of going to Assyria, he went to the coast. And it wasn't good enough for him to get to the coast. He had to get on a boat. And that's not good enough for him to get on a boat. He had to cause trouble on the boat. Because of him, everybody was about to be upset. He ended up in the belly of a fish. And if that wasn't enough, it took that to get his attention. The question is, what does it take sometime to get our attention? How far do we have to go in the other direction before God finds a way to reel us in? The Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were angry at Jesus for entertaining sinners and entertaining tax collectors. Anger will get us in the trouble. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you. Be put away from you. There are certain things when we come into this life that need to be swept out of our lives. No longer need to be entertained in our life. But he was angry and would not go in. This prodigal son's brother. He was not only angry, number two, he was disrespectful. He was disrespectful when he should have been going in and sharing in the celebration. He stayed on the outside and at his own personal pity party. He had his own personal pity parties. He was angry and he was disrespectful. He wouldn't go in. But look at the last part of verse 28 of Luke chapter 15. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. You know, the father could have said, boy, come on in this house. But he didn't. The father knew he had to work with him on an individual level. So he went out to meet him. He went out to meet him where he was. He went out to meet him in the midst of his anger. And he pleaded with them. The King James says entreat with him, which means to plead with him. So here was this angry brother. Here was this disrespectful brother. In verse 29 of Luke 15, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have been serving you all these years. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. What he's saying is, I've been your loyal servant for many years. I've never gone against you, but you've never thrown a party for me. Not even a surprise birthday party. You've never done anything for me. this is something else, another attribute of this young man, the other brother. Not only was he angry, not only was he disrespectful, but he was self-righteous. Yes. He was self-righteous. He says, see, I have been serving you all these years. You see, the son's service was motivated by what was in it for him, not to help out his father. There are times where things, that we see things happening and we look at it for what's in it for me rather than what I can do for thee. Amen. There are times like that. Y'all remember King Saul? King Saul had one job to do. He had to destroy the Amalekites and all their possessions. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God commanded him that. Through the prophet Samuel, all you got to do is whip them and destroy everything. Yeah, yeah. But Saul got there and said, what's in it for me? Yeah. They got some good stuff here. They got some stuff that might look good in my house. They got some stuff that doesn't need to be destroyed or wasted. I'm going to take it back to me. He was self-righteous. He wanted what was right for him instead of what was right by God. You see, that self-righteous will get you in the trouble. Amen? Not only was he self-righteous, here's something else you can write down. He was delusional. He was delusional. The other brother, the older brother, was delusional. He said, I never transgressed. But you know what? My Bible says all have transgressed and fallen short of the glory of God. If we say that there's no sin in us, we are just deceiving ourselves. If we are saying that we have not had evil thoughts against our parents, we are just deceiving ourselves. It might have been in our youthfulness, but if we can say that, we are just deceiving ourselves. We are delusional. But the third thing was, in this part, this verse, he had a hidden agenda. He had a hidden agenda. He wanted his own celebration for what he had done. He wanted his own celebration. Father, I have done this for you all the days of my life. Father, I have gone out to the field when you said go out to the field. Father, I have gone out early in the morning before the sun rose and I have done my chores. Whatever you needed me to do, I have done it. Whether you needed me to deliver some slop buckets to the swine, I have done it. Whether or not you needed me to feed the goats, I have done it. If you wanted me to supervise the laborers in the field, I have done it. If you wanted me to take inventory over your stock, I have done it. If you wanted me to manage your resources, I have done it. Therefore, I deserve the party. The party is not just for everybody, the brother was saying. It was only for those who have earned the right to have the party. Amen? Then look at the 30th verse of Luke chapter 15. But as soon as this son of yours came, as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattest calf for him. As soon as this son of yours came, he had so much contempt for his brother. He couldn't even say, as soon as my brother came back home. He said, as soon as your son came. Your son, in case you have a short memory, Father, you might be having advanced Alzheimer's or something. So I just want to remind you that your son came is the same son who has devoured your livelihood, who took what you gave him and used it wastefully and hung out with prostitutes, hung out as the life of the party, who wasted those resources. And look at what you're doing for him. So not only was he delusional, not only did he have a hidden agenda, not only was he self-righteous, not only was he disrespectful and angry, he was jealous. He was jealous. Jealousy is something else that'll get you in a whole lot of hurt. Real fast. Cain killed Abel out of jealousy. Rachel caused all kind of mess because God had blessed her sister Leah with a child by Jacob and not hers. Joseph, don't get me started on Joseph. His brothers were so jealous because daddy favored him that they put him in a pit and sold him into slavery. King Saul got jealous when his heart was hardened, and he was jealous over David, his protege. Saw that the people liked David more than him. The people praised David more than him. King Saul tried to kill David out of jealousy. There were Jews in the early life of the church who believed not on Jesus Christ. They were jealous because Paul and Silas preached Christ in Thessalonica. They were jealous because Peter preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 2, and over 3,000 were saved. Jealousy will cause us harm. Jealousy is not good for us. But the Father, we looked at the other brother, but let's look at the Father. In verse 31, the Father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." You see, the son, the other brother, he failed to recognize that he had his portion. He was already blessed and was going to be blessed more one day. The son did not appreciate the privileges he had as the oldest son. I understand I'm the oldest son. I'm the oldest child. I understand how it can be sometimes. You got all the responsibilities of the world on your shoulders, and you feel like you're not being recognized. Part of your life is taken up taking care of your brothers and sisters, making sure they stay out of trouble, but you're not being recognized. When is it my turn to be recognized? The Father said, "You have always been with me. Son, you have always been with me." You know, we can spend all of our time in service, but not appreciate where we are. We can spend all our time in churches, in pews, listening to messages, but not enjoying the beauty of our relationship with God, because we're too busy watching somebody else of what they have and we don't. We can spend all of our time focusing on the wrong thing instead of stepping back and saying, "Thank God for what I have." The Father said, "You have always been with me. You have always been with me. I knew that you were okay, but I knew your brother needed some reaching out, some outreach, like we're doing here at Beacon Light. I knew it wasn't good enough for him just to come back and be demoted to a second-class citizen. No, he came back humbly, and now he is restored to where God wants him to be." The Father said in verse 32, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The prodigal son represented the publicans. The prodigal son represented the sinners. The prodigal son represented all those who feel that they are lost and on the outskirts of society. All those who hear the message of Jesus Christ and say, "I want some of that. I know I haven't always lived life the right way. I haven't done the right thing. I have cheated my brother man. I have caused havoc in my relationships. I have left jobs that I should have kept. I know that I have a distant relationship with my children. But Lord, I thank you. Yeah. You're telling me that I can still come to you. Right. I don't have to be good to come to you. The other brother represented those who think they're all that and a bag of chips in the church. The other brothers is the one who looks down their nose at others with self-righteousness, who says, I've been doing this for 35 years. And why are they spending so much attention with this fool who came in off the streets? The prodigal son, again, represents the sinner saved by grace. The one who realized how bad off he was. He was forgiven. And he was accepted back in the house. He got the best robe. Daddy said, bring out the best robe. That's like for us saying, bring out my favorite coat. It's a sign of position. Bring out the ring and put it on his finger. The ring was a sign of authority. This is part of my family now. If you mess with him, you mess with me. He put on sandals on his feet, which represents freedom and luxury. This set him apart from the other workers who were barefoot. He said, bring the fattest calf, which represents nourishment. The father represents God, who rejoices when sinners repent. The father represents Jesus. When he pleads the people, come on to me. All ye who are heavy laden and labor, come on to me. The older son, the other brother, the brother of the prodigal son, symbolizes all that is wrong in the church today. All that is wrong with the self-righteousness and the looking down on others and the superiority attitude that we have at times. There are other brothers and there are other sisters sitting in pews in churches all across the land at this very moment. This is an opportunity to look at ourselves and recognize that most of us at one point in our life were sitting in the same shoes as the prodigal son. Just because we saved and born again doesn't mean that we've been holy all of our lives. This is not some exclusive club that says members open only. But this is the club that says all are welcome. I don't know if you've ever traveled back in the day to a city and not made reservations in a hotel. And you see these no vacancy signs in neon. And you go from hotel to motel. One by one, go up to the clerk. Do you have a room for tonight? And how does it feel when they tell them you one after another, no, there is no vacancy. You should have made reservation. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that has a vacancy sign open. No matter when you come to him, it might be as a youngster, it might be as a senior citizen. The door is still open for each and every one. who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord. You don't need to make reservations 7 days in advance. You don't need a credit card to confirm and reserve something for you. All you need is to accept that the blood of Jesus was shed for your sake.
Yes.
The other brother, two brothers, one was good and one was bad. But the bad one became good. That is the story that Jesus was trying to tell the religious officials. This is what Jesus was trying to get across to the Pharisees and the scribes. He was trying to let them know, you've already had this. It's available to you. My job is to reach out to others who don't understand. Reach out to others who feel like they're unworthy. Reach out to others who've been told that they're going to hell. Reach out to others who've been told that you'll never be good enough. You'll never be anything. Your lot in life is cast in stone. I beg to differ. I still believe in Jesus Christ. I still believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I still believe that in each and every one of our lives, we can sing like the choir was singing earlier. That's not how this story ends. For Jesus Christ rose, and I can accept him. Yes, you might remember me for what I used to do, how I used to be, who I used to hang around with, how I used to act. But I'm a child of God. So you keep on focusing on the wrong things and watch God bless me in the right way. And don't be hating when you see me advance more than I ever would have thought I would have advanced, simply because I follow and trust in God. God bless you. The other brother, the prodigal son, brother. Amen. Amen. This brother.